Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 212, Victory of the Renewed Mind. Guest Minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, September 5th, 2021 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I believe, I'm not sure exactly what country that took place in Africa, but I think it's just so powerful, the image of a woman with no legs leading God's people in praising and worshiping him. And it makes me think about, you know, her identity, and she must have chosen good thoughts. She must have been rooted in who she was in Christ, to be with a smile on her face. And don't you just love the baby on her back when she turns? He's like, what is that white thing she's got? You know, like the sheet or something. And then you see that there's a precious little baby also coming along to praise Jesus with her. But you know, she must have been rooted and grounded in godly thoughts about who she was, because she was different, right? She didn't have legs. But based on what we can see, like, she could have had thoughts of poor me, you know, a victim mentality, or why me, or, you know, I can't get up and lead worship and have people look at me. I'm different. I don't have legs. I'm unworthy. I'm broken. I'm shameful. All of that. And maybe, you know, we don't know this woman, don't know her story, don't know her process. And maybe at one time she went through that process. But obviously from what we see here, she's worked through some of those other thoughts, we'll call them lies, and has taken on who she is in Christ, and that God made her fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just think that if she had accepted or chosen, and even on that particular day, negative thoughts, you know, those lies, that we probably wouldn't have seen this video. Maybe she would have chosen then to you know, feel sad and feel bad about herself one day and not get up and lead worship. So all of our thoughts and our attitudes, they lead us to a behavior. There's a connection, a strong connection between what's in our hearts and what we think about ourselves and just the way we see life, the way we see the world. And that leads us to emotions, and that leads us to certain behavior. And so today we're going to talk about, like Tanya said, the victory of the renewed mind. There is victory in having our minds renewed by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God. And we need that. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation, like we've been praying over ourselves from Ephesians 1, right? Everyone's doing that week to week through our study in the cell groups on the believer's authority. So, yes, let's press into God today, press into his heart. The spirit of the living God is here to shed light, to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we can take away from this place and be changed and transformed in our minds. So let's pray. Thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. We lift you up because you are the only one true King. You are the Savior of the world, and you are the Savior of my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for revelation. Father, I just pray that you would take my words and turn them into revelation knowledge for each one hearing the sound of my voice, or in the future, watching this, the replay video, or hearing the podcast. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of lies that have had strongholds over people's lives. I cast out the power of the enemy. I break his power now in Jesus' name, and I declare the light and love and truth and the power of Jesus Christ and his word. I thank you, Father, for just ministering to each heart, each soul today. We thank you for it. We give you all the glory and the honor and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, victory of the renewed mind. This is a good thing, a positive topic today. Our minds are truly battlefields, right? Does anyone feel like some days you just really have a battle going on up there in your mind? It's because we have received and are constantly receiving all kinds of information, all kinds of input from our flesh, the world around us, Satan, right? From the time that we, you know, the day that we were born, we're receiving information through our senses, right? And we continue to do so. So it's so important that we think about what we're thinking about. And that we don't just let every thought that comes flying into, every bird that comes flying over my head, I don't have to let it sit and make a nest there. I can choose to let some birds stay that, oh, that's a good one. That one lines up with the word of God. I'll let that bird stay. That one could build a good nest on the incorruptible seed of the word. And the other ones, nope, I'm gonna kick that bird out. That bird is not staying in my nest because that one does not line up to the word of God. So it's really important that we have that filter, that process going on, where we are taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And I'm jumping ahead in my notes, so later I'll refer that and give you the scripture. I think it's 2 Corinthians. But so words are containers that hold thoughts, right? Does that make sense? Words are containers and they hold thoughts. And so we have seed with our thoughts. It's seed to produce a good or a bad harvest, right? And we know from the word 1 Peter 1, 23, it says, being born again, we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, living and enduring word of God. In other versions, it says the incorruptible seed of the word. That means it doesn't perish. It doesn't fall away. It doesn't go away. The word of God is steady and firm and true, and we can stand on it and we can base our thoughts on it and be steady. Right? So we have a choice with our words to produce a good harvest from that incorruptible seed, or we can choose a different kind of seed that would be corruptible, that would lead us to death and destruction, right? Words, thoughts. But where do those words and thoughts come from? Our heart, right? It comes from our heart. Not all of what's comes to our in our heart, what is in our heart and what thoughts come to us, not all of it represents truth, right? We have to recognize that. Not all of it represents the Lord and his word. Because when we're born again, we're made new creatures in Christ, right? Amen. Hallelujah. We've been made new creatures in Christ. We die to our old self and we get the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells and takes over, consumes our spirit, right? But what happens to our mind, our soul? Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's also often referred to as the heart as well. That stays the same, right? And so God's work is that I'm born again and his Spirit comes to consume me. My work is to get my mind renewed by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so that's not an automatic thing, unfortunately. We have a part. We have to engage with God. And he helps us, Oh, does he help us? Holy Spirit, we love you and we appreciate you and we need you because you are our helper. Every day you are our helper. Ephesians 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Let's start digging into the word a little bit here. Got all my little markers. Stay in place, markers. Okay. Ephesians 4, 20, we'll just start at 20 and then goes to 24 here. It says, 21, when you heard about Christ and when you were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Your old self includes your mind, right? Your soul, your will, your emotions. To put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So this is the process that we are in as believers, as we walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to take off our former way of life, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We have appetites, desires, and impulses. One of my leaders once used to say or teach about, and instead be made new. To renew your mind, right? It's to make new again, to bring something that has been maybe covered over or it's been tarnished in some way, to make it new, right? In the attitude of your mind, and put on a new self that goes along, that matches the new spirit that we have. But we've got to do that work. So the thoughts that I think show me what's in my heart, right? It's like a little messenger. When we stop and we realize and we take a little analysis of the thoughts that we're thinking, we realize that's what's in my heart, right? So that's why we must get the knowledge of God's truth inside of us, in our hearts, to renew and take care of our heart, to renew our minds with his word. Because we have to get that renewal process going in our heart, because in our heart is where those deep things are stored away. Sometimes shameful, hurtful things, things that have happened in our lifespan, that we sometimes just stuff away and don't, and close the door like a closet full of stuff. And when a guest comes, you like, oh no, don't open that one. And sometimes we are like that even with the Holy Spirit. No, no, don't open that door. That one is a big mess. You don't want to go there. And we don't even allow the Holy Spirit to work on areas of our heart. So if we have an area like that, a closet, a forbidden closet, then there's going to be some thoughts coming out of there that's going to produce emotions and lead us to certain behavior that probably aren't lined up with the word of God if we haven't allowed him to restore and renew and do his work there. So that's why this is so important. Let's go to Amos. We'll give Amos some attention because he probably doesn't get a lot of attention. The book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 19. It's just one verse here, and it's really interesting, really powerful. So it's talking about, well, I'll just read verse 18 so we get what we're talking about here. It's the title here in my Bible says, the day of the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Now, what is that talking about? We got lions and bears and snakes. Oh, my. What is going on here? So, you know, it's saying that the lion and the bear, to me, represent the external enemies, external things around us, right? Let's say there's a man and he's running through the forest and he meets with, what's the first one? The lion, right? Ah, a lion, run! You know, and after he gets over, you know, manages to, by the grace of God, be saved from the lion, and he's resting a minute and he's getting over the shock of, you know, oh my gosh, my life could have been over. And then a bear comes out of the corner of nowhere. And I've met a bear, I mean, not face, not that close, but I've been out in the wilderness when on a hiking trail, Smoky Mountains, it was a little frightening. We saw a bear. Ask my husband what happened next. But, but so you get away from the bear, then, you know, run, rescue. Oh my gosh, Lord, help me. You get away from these external enemies. I know, I'll be safe in my house. Go into your house, run into the house. And a snake comes out of the wall where you rest your hand and bites you. So the snake represents an internal enemy that comes from your heart. That's what it speaks to me. It says only to have a snake bite him. It's the internal stuff. It's those, like the snake that comes out of the hidden closet that we, you know, close the door and stuffed, you know, maybe something hurtful or harmful or an offense that has happened. And we stuff it away and don't allow the Holy Spirit to work there. And this says you can run from your external enemies and maybe flee from them. But if you've got a snake hidden in your heart on the inside in the deep, shameful places, that's eventually going to come out and bite you. And so that's why this talking about the victory of the renewed mind is so important. It's so important because there's such a connection between what's in my heart and what's in my thoughts, and what am I thinking, whether it's positive or negative, good, bad, ugly. And that influences then our words, right? It influences what we speak out of our mouths. So we have to let God work on our hearts in the deep places, in the hard places, in the shameful places, because otherwise it can come back out and it can destroy me. It can bite, not only bite me, it can destroy me. So let's look at some scriptures of why is thinking God's way, this right way, so important? What does it have to do with our focus of fulfilling the Great Commission and making disciples and stabilizing new believers? Because we're a disciple-making church, right? That's what we're about. So what is this? How does this fit in? Well, it has a lot to do with it, right? Romans 12:2 says, we know this verse, Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by, help me, the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? So this is important because I won't know what his will is. I won't be able to sort through his good and pleasing and perfect will. And maybe I wouldn't even see that it's good if I don't have my mind renewed, if I don't bring my mind back to the original state of design and intention. That's what renew means, to bring something back to the original state of intention. God dreamed for us to live a full, abundant life, and he died on the cross so that we could do that, right? So that we could have minds that are full of his life and his word and his peace. But because of the things that we've lived, hurts, hang-ups, hard, difficult things, you know, it's clutter. It's like a door that, you know, have you ever like tried to restore a floor? Let's say an example of a floor. We're restoring a fixer-upper house right now, and my husband was pulling up a floor the other day, and I took a video because I was like, this is prophetic, because he's pulling this up and lifting it up with a crowbar, and he says, a catch on video, he says, there's three floors under here. Like, there's lots of layers under this floor, and underneath it is beautiful hardwood. I mean, it's really raw, obviously, and it was all sticky. We were like sticking to it, but wow, that's renewal would be if we like got the machines and, you know, all the products or whatever and restored that and brought it back to its original design, because it's really beautiful. And I just kept thinking, oh, this floor, it's so gorgeous, even in the state of, you know, these three other floors being pried off it and then being all sticky. I mean, it was still like you could see the potential. Ooh, you could see the potential there. Because maybe the person that made it and designed it thought this could be a beautiful floor. Somebody else put junk over it, you know, and then somebody else didn't want to do the work and strip it off and put another one on top. So there were like three linoleum floors, like, well, two, I think, on top of it. So renewing, getting back to the original state or design of intention. It's a process, right? It doesn't always happen overnight. Wouldn't it, you know, people talk about osmosis and sleeping on the Bible, but you got to get the word in your heart, right? So the more we have our minds renewed in this process that the Holy Spirit, it's a work of the Holy Spirit that he does, the more then we will know God's will, his pleasing and perfect will. And then the more his thoughts will line up with my thoughts and his dreams for my life become my dreams, right? And they meld together because he wants you to run, beloved. He wants you to soar in victory. He designed you for glory. He created you for victory. But if you have wrong thinking about who you are or the world around you or who God is, then you're carrying lies, and that's going to weigh you down, and that's not going to allow you to run and fulfill the Great Commission the way God designed you to do. So there's work to be done, right, in the Great Commission, in the harvest field. But if I'm, you know, incapacitated some way in my mind and not lined up to this, then I'm going to have a really hard time running the way he wants me to run. So Ephesians 5:8-11 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." That's the process of transforming your mind by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's exposing lies, exposing things that don't line up to the Word of God. And so many times we've stuffed things down in our heart that we don't even see it. Maybe other people can see it. You know, our wrong behavior and things, and think, well, there must be a lie that they're believing behind that. But sometimes we don't see it. Here's another important verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20. This is part of the assignment that we've been given. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. It's not only our assignment, it's who we are. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That means in thought, in mind, in spirit, in all of it, be reconciled to God. He calls us to light and truth. Aren't you glad that our God is a God of light and truth? Hallelujah! We can celebrate that. So we are Christ's ambassadors on a mission of light and truth with a calling and a purpose to reconcile others to Christ. Right? What a privilege it is. We want to attract other people to Christ. And so we can do this if we have healthy, godly thoughts that line up to the Word of God. We're going to have a hard time doing that, attracting people to Christ, if we're, oh, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and I'm not so good, and I'm not as good as this one over here, and this one over here, and all of these thoughts that are lies. You know, or I'm better than you. And that's, so the one side is rejection. The other side is rebellion. I'm going to show them I'm better than them. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to go up there and save the world and all by myself and in my own strength. And it's all lies. That's all lies. So how are we going to accomplish Jesus's mission in Jesus's way if we're not walking in his light and truth the way this says that we need to? Right? We're going to be obstructed. We're going to have major hindrances. So that's why this is so important, that our thoughts line up with the Word of God. Because you can see that there'd be so many different obstacles. You could name a few, you know, like fear. Woo, that's a big one, especially in the day that we live, right? Fear would be a huge obstacle. Selfishness, pride, insecurity, I mentioned rebellion, rejection, criticism, judgment, like all these things. And the list, I'm sure we could be here for offense. Woo, that's another big one. That's a big one. Yeah, these obstacles that prevent us from running the race, fulfilling the Great Commission. A biblical example of that is the Israelites, when they were sent in to spy out the land. They came, you know, some of them came back and, oh, we're like small, like grasshoppers. They had a poor self-image. I would call that rejection. They were comparing themselves. They were, you know, inferiority complex, whatever you want to call it. But they were not, some of them, they were not standing up in God's identity, and therefore that the way they saw themselves, the thoughts that they had about themselves, they allowed that to control their behavior. They said, well, we can't do it. We're going to sit down and not do it. We're not going to go into the promised land. So they didn't, you know, they sat back and let Joshua and Caleb do it. The two that had, you know, a healthy image of who they were in God's eyes. And they were able to fulfill God's calling then and go do it. Go spy out the land and say, yes, we can take it. We can take it. But it's a healthy, renewed mind that has that, makes that decision. Let's take it. Let's go. Let's go up the mountain. Let's charge, right? So it is possible for us to change our thoughts. There's hope here. If you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, this is so hard and so overwhelming, and I have all these, you know, closets with things stuffed in it that I don't want anybody to open. Well, it's possible. We're not in this alone. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that lives on the inside of us. He opens a way in the desert. He makes a way. And I am living proof of that, because I tell you, the Lord has taken me out of lots of unhealthy mentalities, lots of unhealthy thinking about who I was. So it is possible to achieve victory. The Lord instructs us to renew our minds, so that means it's possible for us to do it. He doesn't give us things that we couldn't possibly ever do. right? Because he knows the power of his Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of you and me. So nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for him. And we're not trying to do this and renew our minds in our own strength. Hallelujah. We have the helper. We have our advocate. The parakletos, it says in, is that Hebrew or Greek? It's the one who helps us, right? He's alongside of us, accompanying us to do it with us, really. So it's that spirit of wisdom and revelation that we need. So how do we do this? How, Sarah? Okay, that all sounds great. You sold me. How? Tell me how I do this. Well, above all else, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, above all else, like above all else, guys, we start there at this place, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Wow. Don't let any poison in there. Don't let any offense in there. Don't let any untruth in there. Don't let any lies in there. We have to stand guard. Guard your heart. Can you picture a guard? You know, security guard, garrison, you know, like a fortress. I think when I was in middle school, I took a trip with my Girl Scout troop and we went to Canada and we saw these, and I have pictures of, you know, outside of these, like, I guess they were palaces of sorts. And, you know, they're dressed in red, you know, the typical what you think of, like a little toy soldier, like the red with the black stripes and the big black hat. Like, picture those kind of guard, or whatever you picture as a guard, but that's what I picture. Guarding my heart. Standing guard at my heart, which also is linked to my thoughts, right? So when I have to release those guards to go get something, to go arrest somebody, a thought or something that's trying to poison or contaminate my heart, let them loose, let them rip, right? Let them go after that. Where is the, there we go, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments or imaginations and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive. That's what the guards do. They take captive, like arrest that thing, handcuff it, right? Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So I'm linking here, you know, guarding your heart and also taking captive the thoughts, because the thoughts and your heart are very closely connected. So I think of it like this, and I've had this like little movie play in my head. I think I shared this with Pastor Karen and some of the ladies that, you know, it's like I have a thought come in, like when I really have worked to get to this place where I'm taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's like a thought comes in, intruder, intruder, bah! The guards go, like the guards are released and they run. It's like this whole movie scene. I promise I'm not crazy, but you know, this is what it says, right? Like, and there's an arrest that's happening before my very eyes and I'm watching and it's like, no, that thing, like code blue, code red, whatever code, that there's an intruder in this place. This thought does not belong. Get him out. And the thing falls down before it even barely got in the door. And like, I had that happen. I was like, you know, when I was really training myself to take these thoughts down, like take them down. It's kind of funny, but it's also kind of cool. Like, I can do this. Yes, I can do this. Apprehend those thieves, those intruders. They don't belong there. But we've got to work to get to that place. I didn't always do that. I allowed that thing to fester, steal, kill, and destroy, or build a nest. And then you realize how that affects you a few days later. And it's not pretty. Right? why can't I get out of bed? Why am I not, you know, I don't have motivation, or you get into a crisis. It's the battlefield in your mind, but it started way, you know, a week ago or a long time ago when you didn't take care of that thought. You didn't make an arrest where arrest needed to be made of the intruder, and you let that thing just have a field day in your thought, in your heart. And the enemy goes, woohoo, I got that thing. It's allowing to, you know, it's running wild. Don't let that run wild. That's what 2 Corinthians 10:5 is all about. Demolish those arguments, anything that puts itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, so that's how you do this. That's how you do this work of renewing your mind. You have to think about what you're thinking about and demolish those arguments. Don't let them grow. Don't let them stay. So it's a daily process of putting the Word of God into your mind and heart. So you can't just make all these arrests of these bad thoughts. You've got to put something else in. You've got to replace it with the positive, the Word of God, incorruptible seed that never fails, that never goes bad, it never spoils, right? You got to put that in. You got to build it up. You have to reprogram your heart and your mind. James 1, verse 21 says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Oh, I love that word. The King James says it this way, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And listen to the message. Okay, this is the last version I'll read of it. The Message version, this is James 1, 21. It says, so throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. Throw it in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word. Isn't that beautiful? Let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. That paints a beautiful picture for me. Think of, you know, a house being redone, like the landscaping out front of the front entryway, and redoing that whole part, having a salvation garden of your life. Let God, the gardener, re-landscape your thoughts. How do I do that? Spending time in his presence. Like Pastor Steve talked about a few weeks ago when he visited us, the presence of God. The presence of God. We need the presence of God. Hide, run away and hide in his presence. That is your safe place, your safe tower, your safe refuge. Pray in the Spirit. Get the Word of God. Pray and meditate on the Spirit of God. Have I shared with you guys how powerful it is when, and maybe you do this, I don't know, but meditating on a verse and like intermixing, reading the verse like over and over again, and like break it into little parts and speak in tongues as you do that to allow the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to bring revelation to you. So like this verse that we just read, James 1, 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth. So I would do that. Get rid of all moral filth. Therefore, get rid of all. Shika baba rata tata. Lord, bring me your spirit of wisdom and revelation. Get rid of all moral filth. And whatever comes to my mind, and keep praying in tongues. Shida da 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 ka baba roto toto to. All moral filth. And maybe he shows me part of my all. Maybe he shows me a moral filth that I'm involved in and participating in. I don't know. Whatever revelation would come in. So then you keep going. And the evil. and the evil that is so prevalent. And that is so prevalent. And you just keep mulling it over, break it into verses and pray in the Spirit and allow and invite the Holy Spirit to break down those high lofty places that hold itself up against the knowledge of God, and ask him with whatever verse he shows you to do. That's a way that you get his truth, his power, his Holy Spirit revelation into your heart. He knows how to reprogram you. He knows what hindrances there are. He knows what lies there are. So he will direct you to the right words to meditate on. And he will, by the power of his Holy Spirit, as you press in and take care of distractions and stick to it and pray in the Spirit, he will show you, because he wants you free. He wants you free in your thoughts. He wants you to run the race with victory, right? Giving glory to him so that we can attract people to the kingdom of God. Amen? This is exciting. This is exciting to me. I've kind of jumped all over my notes here. So, okay. Taking thoughts captive. We talked about that. So sometimes we need to just, you know, we need to take control. We've been talking about taking authority. We have authority. If I don't do it for me, who's going to? It's my own thoughts, my own head, my own heart. I have to take control. I have to stand up and actually fight. Fight those things. Fight whatever information I've received, whether something happened years ago or last week or last night. And so we have to say, listen up, flesh. I'm taking you captive. You're captive, flesh. Thoughts, you're not running the show anymore. The Spirit of God runs the show in this boat, train, whatever, right? I'm obeying Christ. Listen up, devil. You are defeated. I rebuke these ungodly thoughts. I'm choosing Christ. I'm choosing life in my thoughts, not death. So get out. Get out. Get out of my flesh. You don't run the show anymore. Emotions, you don't run the ship. Because I go up and down and all over, and then I get whiplash, and that's no fun. Like emotional whiplash, right? I'm up one day and down the next, and I lived there, friends, too. So I give all the glory to God that I'm much more steady and stable, and I have learned to not allow those emotions to control me every day. My emotions don't get to tell me when I wake up, oh, you're feeling this way. You have to not go to cell group and not lead cell group that day. You can't get up and preach because you're not. No, I've made decisions that these are my non-negotiable things. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. I've made commitments. I keep those commitments, and I'm basing myself on the word of God. And if I don't feel it one day, well, emotions, you better get in line. Flesh, you better get in line, because the Spirit of God runs this train, boat, whatever, vehicle, right? So be in charge of your heart, be in charge of your mind, of your thoughts. We just conform way too much to just what I feel. We serve the problem. We look and magnify the problem and the circumstances. And you know what happens? It grows bigger and bigger. Whatever you magnify, whatever you focus on, it gets bigger and bigger and snowballs. So don't let it consume your thoughts. Focus on the truth of the Word of God. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. Thank you for the mercy of our God. Wow. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. We're forsaking our way and those evil thoughts, and we're counting on the mercy of God, right? And he will freely forgive and pardon us. Okay. So I want to share a tool that has been helpful for me in my personal life, and I've shared it with others, that I received when I was in YWAM Argentina. I did a biblical counseling school, and they shared many different tools with us. And this was one that really helped me. So Mew's going to put up just the first introduction slide there. And it just said, it's called belief, like a belief system. And it's basically what I've been describing to you, that because of hurts in our past, because of things that we've lived, certain events or just circumstances, the way things were growing up, maybe, or any time, I have taken, you know, thoughts or beliefs from those certain events, and they're not all from the Word of God. They don't all line up with the Word of God. And we really need to repent when the Lord shows us these things. We need to repent. It's nobody else's fault. It's not my parents' fault, not the person that hurt me fault. I believed. I clung to that lie, maybe for a long time, right? And believed that lie. And that lie, so you can go to the first one, the blank chart. That lie would takes me to emotions, to feel a certain way, right? And then it takes me to certain actions and behavior. So as they put that up there, I'm going to walk you through an example of one of these that I have done in my life. So the question here is, where do I need the Lord's truth in my life? And on your way out, I didn't want to give it to you now to distract you, but when you leave today, there's a stack of these blank charts, like worksheets, and you can take one, make copies of it, whatever, and this is some homework. So this is really to be done with the Holy Spirit, because you can just write stuff out of your mind, you know, that sounds good, but you need to have revelation of it. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to really produce a change in you. So the beginning, the event, you can go to my example. So my example, and you don't have to start in this order. I know it's really small, so I apologize for that, because I was trying to fit it all in there. But I'll just read it, walk you through it, okay? You don't have to necessarily start with the event. The event is the root of the lie, like where it came from. And sometimes you don't know. Maybe you start with the thing that you're able to identify and put down is the behavior, like the decision or the action on this side. Like, I don't know why I do this thing, but I isolate myself whenever things get hard, or, you know, whatever behavior. And so then you sit with the Holy Spirit and ask him to reveal to you, why do I do that? What lie is attached to that? And where does that come from? Like, what root? And he'll show you. He'll show you. So I'm going to walk you through from left to right, but your process may not be exactly left to right linear like that, okay? So my event was, and this was an ongoing thing as a child, not like a one traumatic day event. So it could be whatever. I grew up with a very intelligent sister. She was also very popular, and she excelled in sports, in music, in everything. She had lots of friends and boyfriends, and it seemed like she didn't have to work hard to get good grades. Math especially was very hard for me, and the grades that I got, I had to work very hard. And I used to spend hours crying at the kitchen table with my very patient father, who would try to help me with my math homework or just other homework. And I don't understand. And what? Like hours, right? And, you know, my sister would just be like, oh, yeah, I have a test tomorrow. Didn't study. Come home and gets an A. And I'm like, what? You know, that's not fair. So the belief or the lies that I receive from that is that I'm not intelligent. I don't measure up to my sister. I'm inferior. I can't do things requiring math or other brainy skills, like academic skills. Something's wrong with me. Like, others are better. The emotion that would take me to feeling insecure, feeling rejected, sad, jealous, angry, kind of a mix of feelings there. And then certain decisions or actions, like behavior, what's my conduct when I'm walking in that lie? I compare myself. I have a victim mentality. I didn't take risks at all. I was very like, play it safe. I wouldn't try like academic things or new things. And then as an adult, this was as a kid, right? But this was still manifesting as an adult. When I got saved, I was so afraid to read the Bible. I was like, I'm not going to understand it. I can't read the Bible. My first pastor, bless her heart, she's like, talk me through this. It's okay. And so what was the first Bible that I started reading? The Message Bible. That's what got me. And then I transferred later to NIV. Was like, okay, but the Message was like, and she would help me, like, just read this. It's like a story. You can get this. Know thous, know these. Don't be scared. Don't freak out. But that was the behavior that I was still carrying because I was still based on a lie. Right? I tried to be like my sister, and I also overcompensated in other areas to like please my parents. So I was the very super obedient child and did everything right and tried to. And so, okay, so that's all the top row there based on the lies. So then the work here is down below. The event is the same. You can't go back and change the past. It is how it was. But I didn't have to take all those lies that I took into my heart, right? So you can't go back and change the past. But you can do the work with the Holy Spirit. You can change those thoughts and ask for revelation. Lord, what is your truth? What's your truth? Because you don't think I'm a failure. That's not what the word says. You don't think I'm less than my sister. I grabbed onto that, and that's what allowed to control me, because anything that you obey, like, that's what you become a slave to. Romans 6:16 says that. It says, whatever you, how does it say it? I have that somewhere. I just skipped it. What you obey, that's what you become a slave to. So if you're obeying the lie, can't find it. It's here somewhere. Romans 6:16, I know it. There it is. Yes. Obedience establishes authority. You are a slave to what you obey. So what I obey out of habit, that takes authority in my life. So if I want the word of God to have authority over my life, then the only way is to obey it, to do what it says, right? So what I stop obeying, whether it's a lie or the word of God, that's going to stop having authority over me, right? So we want the lies to stop having authority over us. So we need to stop obeying those, stop responding to those, and respond to the truth. And, we had to do this in the counseling school as homework, and I did many of these, and we had to turn them in, and our disciple maker would look them over. And sometimes it was like, I would just write down, the truth here, Jesus loves me, or, some cliche thing. And my leader would say, Sarah, is that really revelation to you? Like, is that revelation knowledge? Are you really walking in that yet? Is that really in your heart? Or did you just, I'm like, well, the assignment was due, like, I'm being honest. I had to turn in something, and yeah. So it's kind of a work in progress. So, you can write something down, but then do the work with the Holy Spirit. Spend the time with him. Get that revelation in your heart. Allow him to speak his rhema word, his logos word to you. He spoke to me, I'm the head and not the tail. And the truth is, I have strengths and weaknesses. I have things that I'm good at and things that I'm not so good at. And my sister does too. I wasn't looking at any of her weaknesses. I just saw all the stuff that she was good at, right? And took the lie on that I wasn't, that I was a lot less than her. That's not true. The truth is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Even math. Praise the Lord, right? Even reading the Bible, Ephesians 1:23, this became revelation to me in that time of the counseling school, for sure. He fills all in all. It's that very last few phrases of, it's the last verse of Ephesians 1, and it says, he fills all in all, or fills everything in every way. And that became real to me, like where I feel like I'm lacking, where I feel like I'm missing something, he fills it up. He fills me out. And I am loved. God loves me. Praise the Lord. Like real revelation. He loves me and I am okay. And I am blessed and highly favored. All of those things, right? So that's the truth. So different emotions then. Confident, peaceful, secure, content, satisfied. Wow, that's such a different picture, right? That's such a different kind of a person with a different outlook. A renewed attitude of the mind. And then the different decision. So you can imagine if I'm thinking and believing and really have that on the inside of me that I'm the head and not the tail, what do you think I'm going to do differently? Lots of things, right? I'm going to be my own person. I'm not going to compare myself. I can do things with God's help. I'll pursue new things. I can read the Bible, right? I can stop people pleasing. Praise the Lord. And that has gotten to me to where I am today, right? Because I probably wouldn't be up here preaching and sharing the word, what a privilege, with you if I was still like back in some of those things. I might have my moments, but those things get arrested, right? Got to take those thoughts captive. So I encourage you to do the work with the Holy Spirit. Allow him to get into those deep places of your heart. Open those closets. He is safe. Church. The Holy Spirit is your, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. You are safe with him. He's a gentleman. He won't pry that door open. He waits for you to give him permission and for you to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I know this is an area that I haven't wanted you to touch because it hurts too much, that I need to forgive people and I need to learn your truth instead of, you know, carrying all these lies and having it affect my life, and I'm done with it, and I want you to renew truth. I want you to renew my mind so that I can walk differently, so that I can know your will, so that I can carry it out, so I can be a part of the Great Commission. Because healthy people with a renewed mind are going to go after the things of God in victory and power by the name of Jesus. And we give him the glory because we're changed and transformed from glory to glory. So, praise the Lord. I've talked a long time, but I hope that makes sense. The chart, you can talk to me afterwards or after you take this home and work on it. If you have questions or like, how do I really start this? Then, you know, you can come talk to me. But it's a tool that has helped me. Just the secret, the key to it is the Holy Spirit, because you can do it all out of your head and nothing will be changed. Nothing will be different. Allow him to give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation and show him, or ask the Lord where, you know, is there a lie that I'm believing? Is there something that I am doing that comes from me believing a lie? Because I don't want that anymore. You know, and he wants you free and he'll show you. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. We just thank you today, Holy Spirit, for your truth. Oh, we love you. We love your truth, Holy Spirit. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation working in this place today, on our hearts, on our minds. I thank you that you are such a gentleman and that we can trust you, Father, that we can take our difficult places, our shameful, hurtful parts of our heart that we've closed up, and we can trust you with it. You are our healer. You are the one who heals us. You are the one who restores our life. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the work that you're doing in the My Father's House family. I thank you for life. I thank you for renewed minds. I thank you for lies, the power of lies in our lives being broken, that we no longer respond to those and act on those lies, but we are basing who we are and everything that we feel and do based on your word, your truth. And Holy Spirit, we rely on you for that work. Do help us to do this work with you. We want to partner with you so that you can help us to renew our minds, so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. I thank you, Father, that we will rise up on wings as eagles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are our best helper. And I praise you and give you glory, Father, as you help each one this week to spend time in your spirit, in your presence, to just get revelation, to seek your face, and that you will give wisdom and revelation to us. Thank you, Jesus, for truth in our lives. Thank you for renewed minds. It is possible. And we love you and praise you and give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.